I want people to start becoming aware, really listening to the thoughts that they're thinking, listening to the words that they say to themselves, listening to the excuses that they're telling themselves, listening to the questions that they ask themselves. Because I don't know if you know this, Gary, this is brilliant, but when you ask yourself a why question, your brain has got a job to do. It's going to find your answers. Like, I need to go and find your answers. So if you're asking a why question of, why can I never do that? Why am I so rubbish at that? Why, blah, blah. It's going to go and find you evidence to support that because it needs to give you an answer. So if you're changing those questions, why am I so terrible at public speaking? If you just change that question to, what do I need to do to be better? Where can I learn how to feel more confident in public speaking? Then it's going to, can you feel the difference in that? It's going to find you an answer for that. Okay, well, you could go and speak with that person because they're really confident, or you could go and do a course or it's finding you different answers. So listening and becoming aware of your thoughts and your feelings, because once you've got awareness of it, then you have choices, then you can get more control. You can choose to think something different. You can choose to ask better questions.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of The Grow Show. Hey folks, how are you doing today? Now, welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show podcast is here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. And today, I am joined by the fantastic Zoe Knight from Zoe Knight Coaching. Now, she coaches men and women, not just any men and women, but creative men and women, to turn their passions into their vocation. So Zoe, thank you very much for joining us today. How are you getting on?
I'm doing really good, thank you, Gary. Thank you for having me today on your show.
No, this is going to be really cool. And as a creative man, I am looking forward to hearing all of your kind of top tips and topics. So tell us a little bit about Zoe Knight Coaching. Who are you? Where you come from?
Who am I and where do I come from?
Big question.
That reminds me of a song we used to do at school. You know, when you used to go camping, like, where did you come from? Where did you go? That's a Cotton Eye Joe song.
See, I was going to say my mind went to Cotton Eye Joe straight away.
Yeah, but there was one where you did, like, you were canoeing and you shouted it at other schools. I told you I waffled. I've straight away gone into waffling.
So let's have a chat about you. So how did you get into coaching? What's your story?
What's my story? Well, I've always sort of been that person, when I was at school, I was the agony aunt because I would listen to people. So it's sort of a natural behaviour of mine. I fit into that role quite well. But what got me into it was the breakdown of my marriage, actually. It's something I've thought about for a long time, getting into coaching. But I had taken on other people's fears, I guess, and other people's opinions, worries about being self-employed, worries that I would do it, whatever. So I didn't do it. And when my marriage broke down, the month that we decided we were going to separate was the same month I went to London and did my first course in coaching and have never looked back. So it was really quite like a bit of a cut in a tie for me, and off I went. Yeah, it was quite clear.
And before the kind of breakdown of your marriage, did you have an inkling about coaching? Or so kind of, that sounds like a big turning point. So which order did it come in?
Well, so I'm a real people person. I love people. I'm very good at building rapport with people. I'm interested in people. So it seemed like a clear thing. And coaching for me, I didn't want to go counselling because I don't so much. I think there's very much a place for counselling, of course. But my focus is on looking forward and what you want to achieve and movement in that direction, as opposed to reflecting back all the time. But when I started learning about coaching, it made me realize how much I didn't know. And when you think you're a really good listener, so you think, oh yeah, I'm a good listener and my friends come to me for advice. And then you start learning about coaching, you think, oh, I'm not that good a listener. And actually, it's not about giving advice at all. That's not what you do in coaching. So I became, have you heard of the, you know, being unconsciously incompetent and then consciously incompetent, consciously competent and consciously or unconsciously competent?
Yes, but I don't think I understand it. And if I don't understand it, then our listeners might not understand it either.
Okay, so for example, I suppose when you're learning to drive a car, at first you don't know what you don't know. You're unconsciously incompetent about it because you're unaware. And then you start having lessons and you become consciously incompetent because you realize how little you know. And then, so I got into that stage when I got into coaching, because I was like, I have so much to learn. And then imposter syndrome came in and all of that. And then you become consciously competent. So you learn your stuff. When you're driving a car, you learn, but you're still very aware of what you're doing. And then you become unconsciously competent because you're doing it. It's when you're driving and you're just having a chat and you get from A to B without even realizing. So you kind of go through these stages in lots of things. So yeah, I guess I was, yeah, you know, coaching is for me and it'll be great and da-da-da. And then I started learning and I was like, wow, so much to learn. So now I would say I was probably at the top end of consciously competent.
Okay.
I'm good, but I've got a lot to learn still.
And would you, I'm just wondering, what's the difference between coaching and counselling? Because we've spoken about in different previous shows about the difference between mentoring and coaching, but what's the difference between counselling and coaching?
Yeah, so for me, the best way I can describe it is coaching is looking at where you are now and where you want to be and how you get there. So it's forward looking. Counselling is looking at where you are now and looking at the past and what's happened to get you there. So there's definitely a crossover, because a lot of the time you aren't moving forward because you're being held back because of something of your past. So there is a blurred line there. But for me, one is facing forward and one is looking back. But it's all at a point coming from where you are at in this present moment. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. It does. It makes complete sense. So coaching, I love your analogy about the car. That's brilliant. And I'm sure actually people listen to it are going to be thinking, actually, I can resonate with that, not just in coaching, but in their business and in their lives.
Everything.
They can. So tell us, talk about the journey between then and now. So you've kind of started to learn all these really cool skills, and then you're trying to get, then next comes the stage where you try to get customers or try to help people. Was that a big jump at that time, or did that come naturally, or did you start doing it with your friends and then go from there? How did it all work?
It was scary. So so I did this course in London, and I was like, yes, this is for me. Then I went to Warwick Uni and did a qualification with them, Warwick University. And then after that, so the thing is with the coaching industry, it's not a regulated industry, so you don't need a qualification. Anybody can call themselves a coach. And sometimes I think that's where problems come up of confusion about what it actually is. Like, we'll talk about misconceptions of that. And I think that's where it comes from, because anybody can call themselves a coach. But I wanted to do it properly. That was really important to me. And I came to the end of my course, and then it's like, okay, what's next? And there is no specific thing, but you can get into this cycle of just, I need to learn this, I need to do the next course, I need to do that course, I need to learn about this before I can do anything, I must have this amount of knowledge. But that's sort of all bullshit when it comes to coaching. Actually, what you need is the practice. You need to be able to coach people. That's where your confidence is going to come, that's where your skills are going to come. So I knew that, so I put all of my energy into just coaching. I did a lot of free coaching to start off with. I was really hungry for that. I've got a very busy life, so I'm a single parent now. So yeah, I was going to say, as you know, but you don't. I have children as well. I have two beautiful little boys. So I would, I started building that up online. So I would go into lots of different groups and I would offer coaching or I would comment. And actually, this was brilliant for me, because lots of my clients to start off with were all over the world. You know, America, Canada, Australia, Israel, lots of parts of Europe. And it worked for me because it meant that I could get my children to bed and then I could coach in the evenings when they were asleep. So I was just fitting it in and making sure that I coached. I was still doing workshops. I was doing other groups. I was doing this. I was reading. But the bit that got me my confidence was doing the coaching. Yeah, so yeah. I built that. And then I got to a point where I knew that what I was offering was of value. And so I thought, okay, I need to start charging for this now. And then that's the next hurdle of like, oh, I can't take people's money possibly for this. And
yeah, I was smiling because I've been there. I get it.
And yeah. The thing is, with the coaching, you can't really coach people and do the journey without doing all that work on yourself. So my personal growth over the past 2.5 years has been immense, and I love it, and it's awesome. But for me, you know, going into that money mindset of, okay, you've got to charge people this, and it feels wrong because I love it so much. And it's like, I can't charge people for doing this because I love it. And so I then kept still doing it for free, and you know, friends and family were like, you need to stop doing that. And I was like, but I get just as much benefit and joy out of it as they do. I have got over that. I now have paying clients, which is wonderful. And actually, when you get there, you have to, it's another mindset shift. Actually, they are paying, they're putting value on their self. They're valuing their own journey. And actually, they're more committed to that because they have placed value onto it. So yeah, I guess my journey has gone through that imposter syndrome and then charging and doing talks. So I've done quite a few talks for different people's groups, and just my theory, it's not a theory, my insert word is to just say yes to opportunities. What's the word I'm looking for, Gary?
Ethos.
Just say yes, make things happen. Yeah. So I say yes and then I get really scared, like go out of my comfort zone, but that's where all the growth is. So I run out of my comfort zone and do the thing, and then I run back and then I'm safe. And then my comfort zone has grown. It's all good.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Really couldn't. And I went through the stage when I first started my business, exactly the same as you. Because I loved doing it, I was doing it free of charge in different places. And after a few years, it kind of clicked with me. And it's taken a few years to kind of get to that stage to start off with, but even to get past that stage of knowing, actually, do you know what, if I charge, people are going to have more buy-in. They're going to actually have more accountability because they're putting their money as well as their time inside of this. And actually, that means actually they value what I do. Doesn't mean to say that you can't slip back sometimes, but it is about looking forward, and it's about actually asking the question, really, do people place value on free time, free coaching, free social media, whatever it is, free products or services? And sometimes if the answer is yes, because they really need it. But sometimes it's no, and it's about recognizing that.
Yeah. And so I completely get it. You've probably done it yourself, like I've done it. I've signed up to free stuff and then I never commit to it because it's free. Exactly. Like, yeah, it sounds interesting, but that still requires my time commitment, and time is really valuable. Yeah. And it's not that I don't respect and value what they do, but I haven't put enough value on it. So, you know, when I got my own coach, because I feel that if I'm a coach, I need to have a coach, I need to put my money where my mouth is and appreciate the value of that. I committed and I, you know, got a huge amount of value out of that because I spent money that I was uncomfortable with doing. So, yeah.
And I love your point about actually stretching your comfort zone, because the more times you say yes to different things, you are just stretching yourself just that little bit every single time, whether that is doing a Facebook Live in a person's group, or doing a public speaking for the first time, or second or third or tenth time, whatever it is. Yeah. It's just about keep pushing yourself and kind of seeing how far you can stretch that comfort zone. And if it goes out of it, figuring out a way to make that gap. I love it. I absolutely love it. In terms of your kind of clients and customers at the moment, who are you talking to and who are you helping on a regular basis?
Yeah, so I say that I work with creative men and women, and it's about people that want to embrace more creativity into their life. But I kind of want to get a little clearer on what creativity is, because often I think when we talk about creativity, we think of artists and we and writers and really expressive creative people like that, and that's not necessarily what I mean. I have worked with pottery people and writers and people like that, but I see myself as a creative person. I'm rubbish at drawing, but I love finding solutions. I'm a problem solver, and I think that's a creative thing. You know, people, web designers, photographers, you know, graphic designers, on how they're going to showcase something. I think if you resonate with creativity and you feel that you're a creative person and you want to embrace more of that, that's kind of the people that I reach out to, or reach out to me as well. The things that my clients say to me quite a lot is they can't see the wood for the trees, and there's this fog that they can't see through, and they feel stuck. It's that stuck feeling and not clear, and knowing that they want to do something and something more than what they're doing, but not knowing exactly what that is and how to go about that. So it's clearing that fog, I suppose, clearing the trees and getting clear on what that desire is and what that passion is, and then how they move forward with that.
And do you find this interesting in the reasons why they can't see the wood for the trees, they can't see that journey?
Well, I guess mostly we're clouded. We're stuck in our heads, really, and we're clouded by our own perspectives all the time, which are, or other people's perspectives, people that we value and hold really close to us, which aren't always helpful. But I think the most common theme is what people come to me for help with. That's never what they need the help with. It's never that. It's always, so if somebody came to me and they wanted to, you know, I want this, let's goal set. I'm not going to do that. I want to, you know, I'll listen to what they're saying, but I'll also listen to what's not being said and get them to look inwards, because until you've got really clear internally what's going on, I think it's difficult. So once we've got that clarity inside and clear vision, then sure, I'll help you set goals towards that. But what I have found is it's normally never what they come to me about.
Mm-hmm. And if you didn't do that process and they just literally helped them to get from A to B without investigating if that was the right area to go down, I'm guessing when they got to the end destination, they wouldn't be happy, or they wouldn't feel fulfilled if you hadn't gone through that process.
Yeah, maybe not. I think that's not feeling fulfilled is probably a good way of saying it. And it might be that they might get there because they do the goals because you've held them accountable. I don't overly like that. They should be accountable for themselves. But having a coach does help with that. It does know if you've got to report back to someone. But if you haven't cleared the limiting beliefs and the obstacles that are holding you back, they're still going to be there for the next time you want something else. So if you haven't changed your perception or perspective around, you know, your own self-talk or your negative beliefs or whatever it is, then they're still going to be there and show up in other areas of your life. So I find that if you're looking inwards and you start clearing that stuff, which can be quite uncomfortable, some of my feedback from clients is that I can make them feel quite uncomfortable, but in a very supported and safe way, which is great, because I guess with that discomfort comes some more freedom.
I love it. Love it. I'm just trying, if you go right back to the start of your coaching kind of experience, what would happen? Where do you think you'd be if you hadn't taken that plunge, that initial kind of sign up to that coaching course? Where do you think your life would have been?
I don't even know.
Because that's a turning point. That's the biggie.
It was a real turning point. And it, I dread to think. I'd be unhappy. I don't know if I would be unhappy, but I would be unsatisfied and unfulfilled and less sparky and joyful, I think. But I can't even imagine. That going for that first course was the turning point, but it very much was the fact it was to do with the end of my marriage, because I know now if I was still in that marriage, and it was, you know, nothing, he's a great, great guy, I wouldn't be doing this. I couldn't do this journey in that relationship. So I don't know what I'd be doing if I was still there, but it certainly wouldn't be this.
I just love the fact that you've gone through that turning point, you made that decision, and you kind of you can just tell that you're happy and positive. You can just tell that by the way you're talking, your mannerisms. And if you're not watching us on YouTube, she's had a smile on her face all the way through. You know, it's there. So you can just tell. And there's going to be people listening and watching this who might be at the same turning point where you were. They might not know where they want to get to, but they're not happy at this precise moment. So it's always nice to kind of hear from someone who's made that decision, and then actually they're happier for making that decision.
Yeah,
it's always nice to kind of see that. So thank you for sharing that. In terms of kind of, we're coming to the end of the kind of the interview. We're talking for 22 minutes already. It's been crazy already. It's been crazy. So thank you so much for your time. In terms of kind of, we've spoken about the misconceptions about your business, we've spoken about your journey, and I love the fact that you're happy in what you're doing and you give people clarity. Clarity is so important. Is there any kind of final top tips you want to give someone who's listening or watching before we go on to your one big thing?
Oh, my one big thing. Well, before one big, I think it's, but for me, it's sort of the same thing. It all boils down to the same thing for me.
Let's go for it then. What is your one big thing? What's your one big takeaway that you want everyone to kind of start doing or take away from this interview?
I want people to start becoming aware, really listening to the thoughts that they're thinking, listening to the words that they say to themselves, listening to the excuses that they're telling themselves, listening to the questions that they ask themselves. Because I don't know if you know this, Gary, this is brilliant, but when you ask yourself a why question, your brain has got a job to do. It's going to find your answers. Like, I need to go and find your answers. So if you're asking a why question of, you know, why can I never do that? Why am I so rubbish at that? Why, blah, blah. It's going to go and find you evidence to support that because it needs to give you an answer. So if you're changing those questions, why am I so terrible at public speaking? If you just change that question to, what do I need to do to be better? Where can I learn how to feel more confident in public speaking? Then it's going to, you know, can you feel the difference in that? Mm-hmm. It's going to find you an answer for that. Okay, well, you could go and speak with that person because they're really confident, or you could go and do a course ordered. It's finding you different answers. So listening and becoming aware of your thoughts and your feelings, because once you've got awareness of it, then you have choices, then you can get more control. You can choose to think something different. You can choose to ask better questions. So yeah, for me, it's all about awareness, but that starts by listening to yourself.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for your time today. I've loved it. Let's catch up again later on in the year or maybe early next year.
Can't believe that's gone so quickly.
It's gone dead quickly, which is great. And that just shows...
So much more to say, Gary.
Okay, you've got two more minutes. What, two more minutes? Put you on the spot now. Did you want to kind of shout out before we go on social media links and websites and stuff?
Oh,
put you
God,
right on the
now
spot.
Now it's pressure. Well,
yeah. Get those nose firing. Go on.
Something that people talk about all the time to do with coaching is gratitude and be grateful and, you know, find your gratitudes, et cetera, et cetera. But they are really important because all gratitude is doing is training your brain to look for the positives. It's a training tool, basically. And the more you see, the more you do see, if that makes sense. It's called the reticular activating system. So you're looking for other things that you're spotting of similar things all the time. I am now waffling and that doesn't make sense. I'll clear that up on our next chat. But yeah. If you want to start feeling better about yourself and, you know, you've got all these negative thoughts, you've got aware that you've got these negative thoughts, then start gratitude. Even if it's something as simple as, I have got a roof over my head. Most of us can say that. And actually, that's something to be grateful for that many people in the world don't have. So you can really, really bring it down. I'm grateful that I can look out the window and see blue sky. I'm, you know, you don't have to be grateful for really big things, but it will start training you to see more things to be grateful for. And it was just spiral. It will spiral up rather than spiral down.
You know what? I reckon we could do a whole interview just about that. So let's make that the topic of the next one. Zoe, thank you very much for your time today. What, if people want to find more information about you, have you got a website? Are you on social medias? Now is the time to throw any links out there.
Okay. So my website is www.zoeknightcoaching.co.uk. Very simple. My Facebook page is Freedom with Zoe. I do believe. I'm sure I can give you a link.
I tell you what, if you throw me over the link, I will put it into the show notes so it makes it dead easy for people to find it.
Perfect. It's Zoe Knight Coaching is my Facebook page, but the little at symbol, I think that's how you find things, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that's
you know if you, all I did was type in Zoe Knight Coaching and it came straight up. So it was absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. Honestly, thank you so much for your time. Everyone who's listening and watching, please check Zoe out. And this isn't the last you're going to hear from her on The Grow Show. Zoe, thank you so much.
Thanks, Gary. Have a lovely day.
And you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to The Grow Show. Now, if you haven't already, please check us out on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, if you haven't already checked us out on YouTube, please do. You'll find all the latest episodes on Grow Marketing Media's YouTube channel. But also, if you search The Grow Show, you'll find Grow Radio, which is our brand new kick-ass YouTube platform where we are going to have all of the episodes right back from episode one. So you can watch and learn from the best and from previous episodes of The Grow Show. So take care, everyone, and I'll see you all next time for the next edition of The Grow Show. Take care.